There's some controversy that I'm going to get out there. There's a video. Signed a ball on Joe's golf ball and said, you're guaranteed to hit a fairway. It doesn't look like the exact same signature. It's close, but there's a lot of differences.
Dude, look, the autographs are different.
Pulled the video up. I took a screenshot. I kind of zoomed in on it. And I also looked at our episode and where that ball went in the water. It went into the middle of that fucking pond.
The A on your side, it's more rounded. Bob's A is more pointed.
All he's got to do is just go on Instagram, put his hand up, and we'll never talk about it again. Oh!
He's a water gallon guy now.
Big water.
He's a gallon guy.
You guys talking about me?
You like when people talk about how hydrated you stay? Like, oh my God, look at that guy.
I'll tell you what, man. Hydrated. Ever since I moved into this Airbnb, I'm like living like a divorced dad. I'm drinking 7-Eleven coffee. I'm buying gallons of water. It's like, it's disgusting. It's like a horrible.
Well, a gallon of water is good for you, Tick.
I know. Do I need it that big? I got it because I can carry it more easily.
You know what? You do? Just grab a glass and then fill a glass up so you're not chugging it like a, you know, like you're prepared.
Yeah, were you
for
one of those
apocalypse
guys? Were you one of those guys in like high school that carried a gallon of water?
No,
with you?
Never.
I hated stickers all over
unless
it.
Unless I was doing 2 days.
Oh, and they would make it so obvious. But gotta drink my gallon of water.
I got a pet peeve too. Is these people with the water bottles
on everything?
Yeah, that's obnoxious, man. These guys
better
bring,
than
like,
a gallon.
Throw it down.
Tick, you know what it looks like? It looks like
whoa.
This guy's got a lot flowing through that system.
The hydration might not be the issue.
There's a lot that keeps this thing going.
Dude, he just had coffee, a gallon of water, and a vape all within a
get about 3 Juul pods in one inhale.
It looks like you started bulk season earlier because that's all the weight.
You look good. Yeah.
You do look good.
Yo, I tried to quit vaping for 14 hours. And I became so aggravated. I became the jet all of a sudden. can't talk.
That's the last thing we need.
I was like, can't talk now. Yeah. And just hung up on him. I was just mean to people. And now luckily I didn't talk to any of you guys, but
you look tanned. Is that the lighting or are you tan?
It's the lighting. I'm actually red.
Guys, you know what I'd like to do today? I'd like to start off this program. By the way, everybody, welcome to another edition here, Bob the Sports Podcast. We're all over the world here, so the boys are here on Zoom together. I think it'd be very nice if we all go around and talk about our New Year's resolutions and what we want to change for the next coming year. And I'm going to start and finish with Binyamin Schicker. Binyamin, want to do different?
Does that mean I have to go twice, or I'm just going and it's over?
You're the only one doing it. You're the only one doing it.
Do you want to know my honest resolution? And I already started it.
Yeah.
I'm getting in shape.
Whoa, wow. Yobin!
But oh,
what have
this
you?
Is
what have you done?
Wait, this is 2024.
What have you started with already?
That's my 2027 resolution. We're talking 2024.
Yeah.
2024.
Eat more food. That's what I'm going to be doing in 2024. I started going to the gym. I go to the gym every day now.
What do you want?
What?
Go to the gym.
It's been 2 days, but the mustache makes my face look skinnier from the start. And I started going to the gym, and I go on the FP. Imagine me on the elliptical for 40 minutes.
That's
what I'm doing.
You're scaring people in there.
Sweating. Well, you know what? Sometimes you gotta take control. You know, and I'm trying to think if there are any other resolutions I have, because there are plenty. But nobody like really sticks, you know, to resolutions. Maybe
you know what you should start doing.
Be nicer. No, I won't do that.
You should start watching Sam Sulek.
Oh,
well. So the thing is, I
get a good
when I look at when I look at food and I see a chicken McSub in front of me, all I see is carbohydrates.
Correct. Yeah, a lot of people just see a crispy chicken sandwich. What I see, 5 grams of protein, 25 grams of carbs.
I think what I'm doing now too is just like before we all see each other, it's just kind of us like preparing till we go on one of these Bob Dust board trip, because then you know it's just going to be a downward spiral to where like I'm just trying to be the best version of myself before I see you guys, and then you just let the spiral.
It's a spiral, yeah.
That's smart. That's really a smart move.
You know,
can we do? Can we get some other resolutions in this crew, or is it just me?
Joseph, what do you want to? What do you possibly want to change up this year?
I'm toggling between being more accountable.
That's
nice.
Which is just the hand up. I think that's all it's going to consist of. The other one was get better at golf, which I know is not going to happen. So yeah, be more accountable. I think
more of these.
Well, I just think more of these. Yeah.
Some hand work.
What's Mr. Stubbe looking to do?
I don't have a whole lot. I don't necessarily want to lose weight. I mean, I do, but I'm not really, that's not my goal. I just cannot put another X on. I have to at least tread water in 24, right? I got to at least stay right here. Yeah. I can't. Once I go one more, then I'm one more away from having to bring out a second hand. I won't do it.
Do they even have a 6X?
Well, I gotta wear something, you know. I mean, it's out there.
I really hate to interrupt, but I've just been handed an urgent announcement.
Oh,
number one out of 10. Number one,
quite possibly the greatest thing. Wow.
Number
one. Fuck yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. We're back.
Stonkyville.
We're so fucking back.
People love Christmas and people love challenge.
All right, Tick it. Your turn, Tick.
I'm doing one.
Tick, this is a year where you're going to get in shape. It's
well documented.
That's a well documented that I am going to get in shape. I've got, 9, 10 more days? I'm going to use those 10 days.
20 more Tuesdays.
To eat and to drink soda. And then I'm going to turn that around. But I think something else that I really want to do, and I think I've already started to do it, but I really want to make it a point of emphasis in 2024, is to really just start sticking it up Mr. Schicker's ass. When this guy gives me shit, I'm just going to shove it right back up his ass, I think. And that's what I'm going to do.
I like that.
That is sensational.
I have a new resolution. I got to change mine now.
I like that.
What does that even mean, stick it up my ass?
When you come at me in your dick, I'm just gonna be a dick right on back. It's a bit. I'm kidding.
I don't think it should be. I don't need to be.
No, I'm just saying that you're not. He's not really much of a dick anymore.
Anymore.
You know, Jet was very nice to Jensen. I found so far, he's been very patient.
I give Jensen a lot. You know, when you come into our farm system. We're like it's like a parenting style. You know what I mean? It's like a tough love type of deal. In the Bob Does Sports.
Resolve to get some better internet. You look like you're recording this thing on a razor, dude.
Motorola potato?
I did say to Jed, I was like, at some point during the Florida trip, I said, could you just be nicer? Like, can you just be a little bit nice? Like, he's very rough around the edges with them. Like, and look, he's grooming the young man, and that's good. But there's just some times where it's like, God, what a dick. Like, and I don't think Jensen would ever say it, but like, there's some times where he gives an answer where it's just like,
I think Jensen had a blast with us on our last trip.
He's coming to Arizona. And again, the style. It's just all like, even with you, Bob, when it's just all business. Like, we're just trying to get the job done. It's not personal. It's never personal. And I've always, once in a while, I give like, if shit goes right and if somebody does a great job, I will point it out and give them all the praise they deserve. That's a
sign of a great leader.
We just have a job. You just get the fucking job done. That's what we do. So however it happens, it's not personal. We just get it done.
He probably, after watching all of our shit, I think like getting a little bit of heat from you is like, it's like, oh yeah, I'm getting some of that jet hate. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like, it's almost like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, this is Bob the Sports. Jet's yelling at me. You know what I mean?
Like, so I think that happens in public. I think when people come up to us in public, sometimes they expect me to like be a scumbag to them. And I am, but most of the time I'm not. Sure enough. They walk away disappointed.
Bob, remember the time when we were at like a golf tournament or something, and we were walking back from Waste Management? Tahoe. I think it was Waste Management, and Jet was furious. Was and then somebody came up to say something, and he just said something like, "Yo, he's actually a dick in real life."
It was Lake Tahoe. I remember it.
I was asking him to quiet down because there were fans around. Fuck, Bob, because you guys are a bunch of fucking dumbass idiots day in, day fuck. I was like, Jet, please. Like, no, fuck you. And like people could hear him.
He was pissed about the podcast we had to do in that room, where it looked like we were planning a porno in that.
It's a handful of things. No, it led to bed.
That's not what
that Tahoe thing when we went to Tahoe and we thought we were gonna like we thought we'd go in and like get Josh Allen, you know, trying to get a home. We were hoping for all these guys. Ticket brings the Pelican case, and sure as shit, we end up in the fucking Sheraton in front of a wall, just doing a 45-minute ripper of a podcast. Yeah.
We could have done.
Jet was pissed at me.
We left. We could have done the day when we got back. We could have done that.
Jet was pissed at me because of the brush off.
Well, that's what
he said that I brought.
Yeah, no, that was a therapy session, and I hope you got something out of it. I hope in 2024, if the same question comes up, you raise that hand. I hope you raise that hand next time.
Where's this coming from, Dick?
That was an egregious moment.
Time, Joe.
There it is. Now we won't talk about it.
Now it's over.
Hands up, and we don't talk about it.
It's so ridiculous.
By the way, that's when Joe went up to the guy who does not work for Travis Matthew and said, "Love what you're doing for Travis Matthew."
The guy was decked out head to toe in Travis Matthew gear, dude, on the Travis Matthew, whatever that thing is, moving RV that they sell the clothes out of.
Young man by the name of shout out Golf Bald Sean.
Yeah, yeah, that was tough.
The king of the Genesis. Who
I was.
Matthew, I don't work for Travis Matthew.
Yeah, he was like, thanks, man. I just don't work for them, though. I was like, why are you decked out head to toe? Like every piece of clothing he had on was adorned by TM. But that was right. That was what Jet was really mad at me. Although Jet normally doesn't get too mad at me. Like he'll call me a fucking idiot. But I think that he knows like deep down, like I got his back. So, like, I have been also, like, on Tick's point, I've been kind of pushing the envelope a little bit with Jet on the last couple trips. Bob, yeah. You've noticed. You said something.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. If you come at me, I respect, you know?
Where is this guy coming in from, dude? You're lagging. You're blurry. Yeah. I can't keep track of you.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Oh, it really looks totally fine to me. Should I leave and come back?
No. Just saying.
It looks like you're part of the Matrix.
No, I saw some added.
I look totally fine to me.
Yeah, I would actually go out and come back.
So do I.
I really would.
Bob, what's yours?
Hang on, because this is going to be a cut.
No, fuck them.
Okay.
My New Year's resolution is to get sub 11-hour screen time. I got to go sub 11. I got to start working on... Right now,
that's gonna be tough, dog.
Yeah, dude. What are you gonna?
What are you at? What are you at right now? 13.
Yeah, you understand beating off also counts, right? Like it's gonna be pretty tough. You count that too.
Hey, Bob, put both hands above deck.
Yeah.
I would say I'm at like 12 and a half, but I'll tell you a guy who I think his screen time is way up there too. I don't think it gets talked about enough that the man Stubby? Top left shelf. I think Mr.
What is your screen time, Stu?
I don't know about that.
He knows a lot about nothing. Yes, the he same does. Way sure a lot of, he really yes, he does, dude. Mm-hmm. I think that screen time's way up there.
Oh no. I don't want to look.
Dude, my screen time lately is going down.
Let's see. Oh, I'm okay. Let's see.
Well, let's see. What is it at?
Including the drone phone.
I don't open that thing when I'm home.
Look at this, Bob. This was mine.
Yeah, this isn't bad.
4 hours and 2 minutes.
Yeah.
54% down.
Does that say lower than normal? Like,
14% down.
14% down. All right.
14% down.
You're probably normally what? Around like 8?
I'm probably like 7 normally.
9, 10.
7 hours.
But I get a lot. They're good
hours.
Hey,
FP, think about it.
Good hours in there.
A work week, if you're a work day, is normally 8 hour shift. So I think if you collectively wanted to say you're exploring thing, listen, I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, help me out.
If an 8 hour day you're working, technically your phone is a portal to your work. You're using it 8 hours. I think you could negate that, at least a portion of it.
That is,
you have any idea how much hours it's not a
spin zone tick. Whoa,
it's still awful.
It's better.
It's way better though. It's way better.
Throughout that time though, Jet, what were you doing? Like that, like during that time?
I went to the gym. I restarted my computer. That was all I did.
All right, boys.
Am I workable here?
Yeah, this is better. I think this is better. Let's get into our Callaway cut. And I think we're going to go around and give our top moments that we have had with Callaway. I'll get the ball rolling here and say for me, Jacksonville, we have recently filmed with the pros again, the Callaway pros, John Rahm, Xander Schauffele, Sam Burns, all those guys. The first time we met them, and I think Rahm in particular, because I think that was, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the first pro that we filmed with during the Callaway event in Jacksonville, I believe.
It was,
Yeah, and him coming over and, like, I think right away getting the Bob Does Sports experience when I skied that ball, like 10 yards up into the water, like just looking at his face and then getting into the cart with him after, like, I just don't think he's seen a shot trajectory like that in so long. And get familiar, Johnny boy. Yeah, I thought that was just, it was unbelievable. And then just being in the cart, and it was when he was on his tear, like after he won the Masters and all that. And I asked him, you know, do you think you could just kind of mail it in now that you've had such a good year? Like you've won everything. It's before he won the Masters. And like, he couldn't fathom that I just asked that question. I don't know if he knew if I was joking or not. And it was so awkward in the cart right after that, but it was so beautiful and it was so bliss. And that for me was bar none one of my favorite moments.
Wow. John Rahm loves Fat Perez.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Not as much. There's a Callaway athlete that loves.
Hold on. Who am I thinking?
You know this, Jed. Come on.
Well, I got
absolutely
think.
Loves some Fat Perez, man.
Oh, it's a girl, right? It's a lady.
Sure is.
What am I? Oh, Annika.
Oh, does Annika love her some FP? It's
you know why, Bob? It's like nice, she's got the FB, the fizzy B, and then she's got the FP.
Fizzy B, yeah. Fizzy.
She's presence is her fizzy B.
It's awesome. When she saw him at Tahoe, that was incredible. She came right.
She gave him her club to hit the club.
Straight to me, dude.
Pres like, what do I do right now? She's like, I wonder, the ball.
It doesn't make any sense. I wonder maybe if like her son's
like, a fan.
just leans towards me a little bit in our videos, and that's she likes that. I can't imagine that why on earth she individually would feel that way. She's great, honestly. She's like one of the nicest people we've ever met.
Fantastic. All right, let's head on over to Joey D. Joey D, what's your favorite moment?
This year's been awesome. First full year with Callaway, which I never thought we would ever be sponsored by a club brand, you know, just knowing how bad my game is. But in retrospect, if I look at that, I actually think something that was really beneficial and a lot of fun and really cool for me to watch just how well received it was, because I didn't know like how people would react when we put the video out, was when they introduced me to their new line of wedges, which are the CBs, you know, stand for Cutsy's back.
We got something for you, pal. The Callaway CBs from the Callaway folks, from Mr. Stoopy, from myself.
What is that?
To you. Say hello to a brand new wedge game, Joey D.
Garrett here is going to tell you about the clubs.
Wedges?
Wedges. That's correct. That'd be wedges.
Right These here. Are the wedges for somebody that can't hit wedges.
This is what you brought me out here for?
Yeah, CB.
Those wedges, we filmed with James O. We did a whole video. I was very uncertain, like, how – I was like, man, we're putting out, like, a thing of, like, me chipping. People aren't going to be into this. And, like, dude, it got such an overwhelmingly amount of, like, love and reception and, like, support from, like, the YouTube community and just our fans. It was awesome. It was so cool to watch. And I actually think, like, you know, my game still stinks, but these clubs have helped me – instrumentally. And it's just, it was a really cool moment because I think for us, it showed kind of how Callaway and our brand could kind of, you know, the synergy that we have and how it could make us better and how we could likewise use their product to help show, you know, that there could be a lot of improvement for people who have similar games to myself. So that was a cool whole thing. I thought James couldn't have been Shout more fun to work with. Yeah, he made things, he simplified things a lot. I think a lot of times you go to a teacher, they tell you all these different things to do. And he compared like hitting a wedge to like throwing a ball. And I think like just like simplifying it and talking about it in that term, it was really cool and it made sense to me. And, you know, I still have the occasional bad wedge shot, but like, I think compared to before, it's night and day better. And it was just awesome. It was really, really cool. And it was probably my favorite moment if I had to pick one.
You made, you made a couple burrito putts that day.
Bob did.
All right. Head on over to Yami.
I got mine would be the Pro-Am in Cincinnati.
Really?
So I don't know if you guys have ever played in like a real Pro-Am. It felt like you were on tour, like playing, and like there were fans that showed up and it was like inside the ropes. Like it was pretty cool just to be inside that. And then on top of that being paired, I mean, you guys were playing with Emma Talley, who we played with in Jacksonville, who was really cool and is like a friend of the program. And it was just really cool for the Pro-Am. Like Callaway was giving out like clubs to fans. At one point FP hit a driver off the deck and then Emma decided to chest bump him, which was pretty, pretty impressive.
The driver off the deck, Jet.
Hmm.
Try to chase one up there. It's 300 yards. I don't think it's going to get there, but might.
Is that in the bag now? That was
And I just thought the whole vibe of that tournament was just cool, being like inside the ropes with a pro. And I think you guys played terribly, but it was a lot of fun. I thought I even while we were working, I just was like recognizing how cool it was to just be in the ropes. Like it just really felt like we were in like a tournament. It was pretty cool.
I feel like that was the first time we like played in front of like fans and followers like that, like in like a full like round of golf almost. So it's pretty cool to like see them see us play golf and vice versa. That was wild.
We should do something like that again, whether it's a Pro-Am or just, I think like it's kind of a cool experience when you're playing in front of people, like you get your nerves going a little bit and it's kind of fun and exciting. And it makes for a good video too.
There's a lot going on. Like even in between shots, talking to the fans and they're giving you drinks, like there's a lot happening. I would love one day to play, like I think the Holy Grail, which would be hysterical if we played in that Tahoe Pro-Am somehow, some way.
Oh,
that'd be wild, man.
That would be an
absolute. But would we play as individuals?
I was gonna say they let you two could play as a scramble.
We get to play everybody else. The three of us play as a scramble.
I think nobody's going in there like expecting crazy scores from someone other than like Adam Tony Thielen. Romo or like Adam Thielen. Yeah, and how about Alex Killorn? Steph Curry won with an eagle on 18.
Marty Fish got banged, dude. He got banged on that 18 tee shot.
That's Callaway athlete Steph Curry.
Let's go to the big man himself. That is a young man by the name of Neil Arnett, Philadelphia's finest. Arnett, take it away.
My top moment of the year would probably just be the overall access of just kind of getting to hang out with Xander and John and Madeline Sagstrom and Emma and Annika and all these people. See, a lot of people think that we don't really have an office. We're just a traveling circus show. But the Parsley Poppy does have an office, and it's the Greens. Okay. That's my office. Come and step into my office. And a lot of these pros, they're very good. When we play them, they're on the green before you guys. So I get a little bit of time to kind of shoot the shit with some of these guys. John Rahm, for sure. Xander likes to talk a lot. And we have a lot of fun up there. And I'll usually shoot my shot and see if they like to play along a little bit. And all those guys, and Annika and Emma, certainly, and all those guys really did. So they were just a lot of fun to be with, and just kind of, I just never would have thought I'd be hanging out on a green with Xander Schauffele and John Rahm and Annika Sorenstam. So I would say that's probably my top Callaway moment of the year.
The worst, maybe the worst moment of my year was getting a bloody nose in front of Annika. Yeah. You remember that? And you know what made it worse? You know, was that she was
that
so
thing
nice
was leaking like Old Faithful, man.
Oh my God, it was so bad. And I was like
it was a geyser.
It was the most horrifying moment of my life because everybody was looking at me and she was so nice about it. And she kept like coming back to me with like a towel. I was like, Annika, hit your shot. Just keep it moving.
Fat Perez, Callaway moment of the year.
I think the first time where we went to Callaway's Performance Center to all get fit, ECPC, as they call it, just a wild thing to like, I mean, they protect that place like Fort Knox with the security and the gate and everything behind bushes and all this stuff, and just rolling in there and seeing our like names set up and all this stuff. And, you know, like, at least for me, watching like fitting videos and stuff of like Xander and John Rahm and, you know, Mickelson back in the day, you can see the background. It was like, these guys are doing all that from the exact places that I'm going to hit. And obviously when we're done, they're going to have to move that around a little bit, do some grass work. But it was just wild to walk in there and like get, you know, talk to the same dudes that are working through new golf clubs with the best players in the world.
So club wise, I mean, he's obviously a good player. He's like a plus one. And so he's coming to me with a set that is probably built a little too light for him, but he says they're brand new. So I think we're looking for a happy balance in shaft, maybe a little bit of an adjustment on what he had, but not as crazy of an adjustment as the clubs he came with. And then he's probably going to be in some kind of a tour head. So he's going to want something that's more geared to a better player in terms of, you know, someone of his skill level, which is scratch. He's going to want something that gives him a tour spin rate, workability. He wants a small compact head with good feedback. And so that's going to be one of our blade type irons, maybe an Apex Pro or maybe like a TCB or something like that.
And seeing them try to dumb down all their knowledge to fit our games, it's just a pretty wild thing to get in there and see everything that goes into it and have that same focus put on us for a morning. Just a while. I never, as a golfer, I never thought I'd be in a place like that, getting that kind of treatment and focus. It's pretty wild for me.
The coolest thing too about that whole facility is it's just like you go inside, then they got a putting area and they got green. It's so elaborate. And then the guys who are on there, like, they just look at your swing. I mean, I felt bad for my guy. He must have had, like, Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind when he's seeing all these numbers pop out and just freaking out because there's so many bad things with my swing he was trying to change. But, like, they can just see a swing and they know exactly what they need to change, whether it's the degree or the shaft or what. It's pretty like, mind-blowing, the information that they possess when they're looking at you, you know?
Bro, like, why are you so that day when we went to that fitting, so they start you, they want to see your swing, get you on some irons. They eventually get you to your hybrids. Then they get you to your driver, and then they keep you moving. And then they'll bring you eventually in to do the putting. And Joey D, I mean, these two guys, Perez and Bob, were in the putting.
We were done, dog.
At this point, they did what they needed to do. They got fit for their clubs. Joey D was pumping.
I went through like two or three buckets, dude. It was awful. I was a sweaty mess.
He wanted the whole day was getting to driver, right? He worked through that other shit. That's fine and good. He just wanted to get to that big stick and get every yard he could get out of that guy.
Yeah, and even the fitter, like, you looked over at him, he was like exhausted. Like, he's like,
the guy put in like a week's worth of work within 1 hour.
Boys, we got some controversy that I actually want to bring to the table. I've gotten so many messages about it, and the first message actually came from Perez, which is why that I thought his screen time was higher than it was. There's some controversy that I'm going to get out there, and there's a video of I signed a ball for Joey D fucking around in our 18 under challenge in one of our recent videos 2 weeks ago by the time this drops. I signed a ball on Joe's golf ball and said, you're guaranteed to hit a fairway. I'm going to put Bobby Fairways on it. He hits it into the water or a banding K. And a couple weeks later, we get a video of two guys going out and going into the lake to get the ball.
You know how horrible that ball looks now? And I gotta hit this thing. The guy grabbed my Sharpie, signed the ball.
There's a fairway for you, Bob.
It's over there, for sure.
Okay, there's two. Come on. Oh, I see Titleist.
Please be it.
Callaway. I see Sharpie.
No,
I see Sharpie.
Way.
I swear to fucking God.
Let's go.
And I saw the video. Jack called me. He's like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen. Me too. I thought it was amazing. They fish the ball out. They get the signed ball. FP hits me up and he says, Bob, you know the video is fake. That's not the real ball. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right after FP sends that to me, I go into my DMs and there's multiple people telling me that it's fake. So I don't know how much of it you guys have seen. I don't know how much the followers have seen of it. But if you do compare the two, and I really zoomed in yesterday, it doesn't look like the exact same signature. It's close, but there's a lot of differences. And I also wonder if a Sharpie goes on a ball and it goes into the water, wouldn't the Sharpie kind of disappear to a degree?
I wouldn't think so.
It was fresh. It was fresh Sharpie too.
Yeah. I don't want to be that guy, and I didn't get it out.
Was
but
fabricated.
You know, I just
look at the autographs are different.
I don't trust anyone at this point in my life. I've been hurt too many times to blindly trust people when they tell me good things. So, you know, I pulled the video up, I took a screenshot, I kind of zoomed in on it. I did like that guy in Pawn Stars they bring in, he's got all the rings and shit in the iPad. And he's like, I'm going to pull up some signatures that I know are real, and I'm going to use this little lens. And he's like, yep, that's live ink, all right. And I got to, yep, you see where it crosses over there, it gets a little dark. He's like, I got no reason to believe this is not real. So I did that sort of analysis on the kid's picture. And I also looked at our episode and where that ball went in the water. It went into the middle of that fucking pond, right? So unless that kid put on waders and like, I looked at it. Yeah. It's a really good, if it's a forgery, if he did a really good job, some of the, but it's just, there's some places that are, the gapping's a little off. I think some areas should be a little thicker than they are. I don't want to bury this kid, you know, he went out of his way to do something. You know what I'm saying? Even if it isn't the ball, I respect going to that pond, putting the work in. I mean, we're going to send him some stuff, but I have my doubts.
Yeah,
it's pretty close, though.
I think the effort, if he did make it, so be it. But there, Joe, I zoomed in last night and I looked at it, and there are some different things. Some people are saying that it's not even the same, that it looks like it's not even a Callaway ball, the one that they held up.
It's a Callaway ball. I can confirm.
It is?
That. Yeah, it's a Callaway ball.
Okay. All right. I'm curious if people thought, again, the effort, even if they did fake it, to fake it by all means. I mean,
it's pretty good, man. I think the eight. You know what? Actually, the eight.
I saw side by side last night. That's what I saw.
Look at the A on your side. It's more rounded.
Yeah.
And then look at Bob's.
There's more room at the top.
Bob's A is more pointed.
Yeah. Even yeah. There's not as much of a at the top part of that A
signature. It's just different. It's
the F kind of hangs over. So if you look at Bob's, the F hangs over the top of the A.
Look how thick that F line is.
But look, the F hangs over the top of the A. Yeah. And on this one, the F does not hang over the top of the A.
Bob's is also more compact altogether.
It is, man. And you just absolutely dox that kid with his face right there, but that's okay. I want to believe that the pond altered the Sharpie in such a way that this kid wouldn't do something like this.
Hey, you know what though? I still give the kid kudos to try to fabricate that. Damn. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I posted it. So I'm not taking it down anytime soon.
You know what the good news is? All this kid has to do is put that hand up.
All he's got to do is just go on Instagram, put
his hand up, and we'll never talk about it again.
How he fished it out with one of those tools for like that to know where the ball was? Like,
I thought it was incredible, Joe, but that ball was in the middle of that pond.
It was closer to the end.
I laughed at FP when he told me it was fake.
FP just sees things in a different spectrum than your average person. Like if FP says that something is the way that it is, I've almost just started taking his word for it because the guy like analyzes.
You guys used to not on one thing that we will not bring up.
I was gonna say it's not gonna.
I stood firm on that for a long time.
Look, I should have learned my lesson after that, and I didn't. I laughed at you again, and I apologize.
Yeah. I put this up there with the moon landing is just things.
you think it was Tupac in that pond helping him get that ball out?
I'm not a conspiracy. I don't do conspiracy theories. I do have a slight issue with the moon landing. That's the only one.
Oh boy, here we go.
You really want to get into it?
Yeah, we do.
You don't think they landed on the moon?
But I just don't understand why they, like, if they went in the 60s, why have they only been back, like, three times? Like, there should be a direct flight from here to the moon at this point.
What's on the moon that we need to get there so often?
Why
do we need to be there?
Yeah, I think that's the point.
But they had a whole fucking agency dedicated to fucking, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, we got there, realized there was nothing there, X'd the agency. Yeah.
Now they're going to Saturn.
The moon is small potatoes now.
For sure.
Now they're going to Mars.
We're way past the moon.
FP, you got to join me on this. I know you're in on this.
Look, I'm not prepared to go public on how I feel about the moon landing like you are, okay? I understand what you're saying.
It's the only one I
have. You have concerns. I understand your concerns.
Yes.
That's about as much as I'm willing to say on the
matter. I trust in almost everything else besides the moon landing and this kid finding this ball.
Buzz Aldrin seems like a really nice guy. That's all I'm going to say. He seems like a trustworthy dude, and I want to believe him.
Yeah.
Let's head on over to our Q&A segment. And again, folks, at any time, fire on into the DMs. We see it. Poppy definitely sees it. By any means necessary, fire on in any questions you have. Now we're going to send over to the big ticket. A little Q&A here for the boys.
All right. First question comes from big ticket. Is Jet a fucking idiot with this moon landing thing?
Hey, Dick. There's 10 more days left of 2023. So let's fucking relax.
Hey, I will say, Jet, now that you have a mustache, you can be the conspiracy guy.
That's true.
Is that a
good point?
Don't get me started. I can come up with a few more.
All right. First real question comes from What Up G. did Cold Cuts shit his pants after the milk and cookies being lactose intolerant?
That's a good question.
In lieu of being lactose intolerant,
I will never say in lieu of again. Mark my words. I actually had a significant issue with the toilet later that night. I was surprised though that the actual challenge itself, I remained unscathed. That being said, there was I've never really, you know, normally I try as hard as I possibly can to not throw up or anything. This was the toughest by far, I think, in terms of like, when you drink that milk that quickly, like when you go for the, when you commit to the chug, your stomach feels like it's expanded, like it's almost hardened like a rock. And all you want to do is just release that air, that pressure. So you want to naturally burp. But I knew that I was at a point where if I burped, I was going to get a lot more than I bargained for. And we saw that with our dear friend FP, who just could not stop throwing up. But to answer the question, I actually got out of it with better off than I thought I would.
The burp was under the milk.
Yeah.
The burp was under the milk. And unfortunately, it was a lot of milk.
I think, too, just a lot of milk.
That's a lot of milk.
You can't really see it in the episode, but well, actually, I guess you can if you look at my back. The heat definitely played a factor into all of it. Just like I can't think of something worse to drink than milk in heat. Like it made it so much even worse than it already was. And we say it in the video. Till that day, the hot dog challenge that me and Joe did was the hardest challenge that we've done. That takes the cake as the hardest challenge that we've
done.
You
think so for sure?
I think no doubt about it. I think that was it. I almost, when I hit the putt on like, what was it, the eighth hole, I think it was, I almost was upset that I made the putt. Because then it was like, all right, we got to get down to business with the.
You made a couple huge putts.
Yeah, you did.
I regret the first one. I didn't regret the second one. That big one, I did.
Well, I also say that leading up to that challenge, no one really took that like seriously that it was going to be a gauntlet. Everybody's like, yeah, we got the Christmas milk and cookies, and we were actually trying to do another challenge, which we will do, is a Chick-fil-A challenge. And everybody was talking about how horrible that was going to be. But to me, the cookies and the milk seemed like a worse, just a more of a gauntlet to me. And nobody was taking it like it was that big a deal until we got out there and realized just how bad it was. So to your point, Bob, yeah, I would agree that I think probably that and the hot dog to me is hand in hand.
What about the donuts? Are we really?
I thought the donuts was tough, but not as bad.
Donuts to me was in my opinion worse. I think the liquid thing you can get through, like you just do it. It stinks, but like I feel like I can handle liquid better than I can handle like a food item.
FP, the route that you took with the donuts,
Yeah, that was, that's a mistake. That
makes a huge difference to where I knew we weren't going to finish the challenge. I could have done the donuts. It would have sucked.
I did all 12 donuts, and it was tough. But
yeah, the Krispy Kreme's the next play on the donut side. By the way, with all due respect to Tim Hortons.
No, thought because we're in Canada.
It was absolutely the move. We had a tough pick.
We have the Chick-fil-A, like Joe said, we have the Chick-fil-A challenge on the horizon. And then one that I want to run back, because me and Joe did it, we didn't get to do it with Perez, is the beer challenge. Yeah. And I think people would really want to see that. So I would say next challenges are our beer challenges, our Chick-fil-A, and then beer challenge. And from what
I would love to bring Jet or Ticket in on one of these things at some point in time, too.
Ticket and the Chick-fil-A challenge would be just...
We've never done a pizza challenge too. I feel pizza is kind of like low hanging fruit. I actually think Perez, people say that you don't do as well in the challenges, but I think a pizza challenge you would destroy. I think that's right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's
the next question. Is
I think it'd be good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but we'll get there real quick. I just want to say quickly. That have you ever seen movies where like these movie nerds, they'll be like, oh, New York City was actually a character in the movie in and of itself. Bob's back sweat was like a whole other character. I think we could forget about Earl for a while because this is a brand new character in the episode.
Well, Earl made an appearance too.
Yeah,
Earl was there.
He always seems to, man. He always seems to right before a film trip. It's incredible. Really the guy just loves the limelight.
Just wants to make a cameo.
Yeah, he's a freeloader, dude.
All right, Mr. T, let's head on over to next Q&A there.
On the challenge note, though, the next question comes from Kuganowski. When are you guys going to do a big Lebowski White Russian challenge? Oh,
gross, dude.
I want to stay away from milk for a while, dude.
Oh, that's so gross.
It's a good play, though. Milk cream thing is tough. I would like to see, because a lot of times, comments-wise, we get a lot of good things, even like video-wise, video concepts. Like, we want all of that challenges-wise. Like, put those in the comments. I want to see what people come up with. I think we're taking a long break from like cream or like – I'm telling you, my top
– You wanted to do tequila, but I know FP hates tequila. Oh. So
well, we would save the tequila challenge with Paige.
Whoa! She wants to do it. Yeah.
She's in for that? But FP, you can't even take a sip of tequila. How would you do that?
I got it. You know, you just got to
– Yeah, I mean –
Figure it out.
No?
Dig deep.
Oh, it's so gross.
She wants to do the tequila challenge right before she's going to be in there for the waste management. But the only way we could do it would be to do it right before and to set the tone of that trip of doing a tequila challenge before the trip.
That would be, that video would crush.
Sure would. Mr. T, next question. Next and final.
Next and final. Oh, that changes things.
you talk him too.
It is pouring.
You talk him too.
It is
pouring.
I've never, I've never seen it rain like this. It is pouring.
It's raining in LA.
Yeah, it is.
So you guys can sign up for that.
Man, guess what? Good news is Rayos has a roof over it.
Yeah. Damn, dude. You guys went to Rayos yesterday, or was that tonight?
I thought we were going to
Dota. You're going back tonight?
We're doing Grill on the Alley tonight.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
Nick, you're going too?
Sure am. Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. Cutsy, what? Oh, you're in Canada. By the way, Cutsy, your family is the most festive, Christmas-oriented family. It's impressive.
I said the spread that they had going last night.
That was a Thursday. What was that for?
It was an engagement party for me and Nicole.
Ah, but it was Christmas-oriented.
It was Christmas-themed due to the nature of the festive spirit we
right.
have.
But even, like, you putting up the tree with your dad and, like, all that stuff.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. Well, normally we used to do that as a family, and it was always a tradition that we did. And then this year, obviously, I came really late, so there was fucking slim pickings for the trees. But it's just a fun thing that we always do to prepare for the holidays. It's fun. Everybody gets some drinks in them and has fun, and it's a good little thing that we do.
Your family doesn't do the same thing
for Christmas?
Yeah,
we don't. My family doesn't celebrate Christmas as you know. We're Jewish.
What about for Hanukkah?
Yeah. When I was growing up, that we would do like stuff for that, but now like not.
Did you dread it, or did you enjoy the festivities?
No, I would enjoy the thing, and we've had this conversation. Like I think we talked about this before. It's not Hanukkah is not as designated as like it's just like 8 days in the middle of the middle of the week. It's just like part of your week. You don't do anything like crazy for it. You just set aside some time.
Would
like,
you guys take turns lighting the menorah though?
Well, everybody would have one and light one.
Oh, you had your own.
You would make them in school. We made them in school, and you make them out of like clay or whatever, and then you
put
the
dreidel.
Oh, I can send you.
Would you say you were a pretty good dreidel roller? You're not the athletic guy.
Listen, that was my introduction to gambling. So I mean, I was pretty fucking bad.
Put a few shekels on the line.
Yeah. Used to clean up, dude. Clean up all that gelt.
The side of kafilka fish.
It's fun. That's fun.
It is hard, baby.
I got two.
Two piece.
Oh, the tip.
Photo.
This one comes from Kevin Hughes, 1988. I think he's had a few questions.
Balloons.
What sporting event in the past would you have liked to have been at? Even you can pick something before birth, too.
I got one. The national championship last year, Georgia.
So last time when the Natty Championship was on, Jet looked at me and he's like, you know, I tell you, if there's anything I could really go to, it would be the national championship game. I was so excited to tell Jet. I'm like, I got tickets for tonight, TCU versus Georgia. Looked at me, he's like, yeah, I don't think I really want to go. Wait, I was so caught off guard. I was like, you just told me like a week ago that it would be like a dream of yours to go to the national championship game. Perez is like, I'll go to the national championship.
That was one of the lower moments of my. It was like
that's it was my pretty tight.
No, so last time I go out of my way to try to help a friend.
No, keep helping Jeff out. Keep helping Jeff because I get the scraps.
I got what I needed. I got what
it was a hell of a time. No FP. We had
it was a lot of fun.
I'm banging myself. My real answer is the Game 7 2016 Cubs Indians World Series next.
Wow.
No, who's next? Why don't you go now?
I would say the Packers Super Bowl in 2010 against it was at, you know, Dallas Cowboys Stadium against the Steelers. To watch them win the Super Bowl would be pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, I would be 2009 Yankees beating the Phillies. Not that it was like a crazy game or anything, but tick. just to see the Yankees win a World Series for me and be there would be incredible. And it's been
would
a
you go with
time.
Your pops?
Yeah, 100%. 2009. Again, nothing crazy to it, but I just want to see the Yankees win the World Series. FP?
Probably being like, if I could give myself a location too, if I could be like on the ropes 18th green in 2019 when Tiger won the Masters again,
that would
the last
sick.
Time he did it, I think that would be like pretty fucking incredible. That's probably none of my other teams have done shit, so that's the best I got.
How about the Buffalo Bills when they go to the Super Bowl this year, FP?
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Like,
you want me to go to one of the four Super Bowls we blew? Maybe I could go to the one that close one against the Giants. If I had just blown really hard, we could have made that fucking field goal. I don't know.
Nick?
I think a lot of people think I'm going to say the Eagles, but when I was growing up, I was actually a much bigger baseball fan than almost anything else. So I'll go to one year before Bob. I'll go to 2008 when the Phillies, they didn't beat the Yankees, but they beat the Rays, and they won the World Series for the first time since forever because they're the most losingest baseball team in history. So that was a special moment. That was a special roster, man. Jimmy Rollins.
Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard, play all the hits. I mean, it was a special time.
Jason Worth on that team?
Jason Worth was on the team, absolutely. Yeah, he was.
How about Shane Victorino?
Shane Victorino.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Ryan Howard.
How about, Jimmy Carlos Rollins. Ruiz was the catcher?
Carlos Ruiz. Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Was Roy Halladay on the mound?
Roy Halladay.
Was that a Cliff Lee team?
It was not a
Cliff Lee team.
That was not
what
a
that was not a Hamels.
Pat the Bat was on the team. Pat Burrell. Yeah.
Ryan Howard was like the home run king that year, too. No.
Yeah.
Him and Adam Dunn. He got a big old contract that he never fulfilled.
No.
Any amount of play after that. Not a fucking season after that did he give.
Yeah.
But he got you there.
Jimmy Rollins is the GOAT, though.
Yes, he is. Last one comes from Nico_Gutierrez. Gotta love my underscore kings, dude. What would be each guy's perfect day? Why don't you kick us off there, huh?
Nope.
Jet, damn, why don't you kick us off with your perfect day?
My perfect day? My perfect day is
no one lets him down for 24 hours.
First thing you do, you wake up and you look at the sun. You get your eyes on the sun because that's healthy. You go outside and you want to look at the sun because that gives you electrolytes in your body that precipitates throughout. Okay, then you drink a cup of magnesium, and then your day is off to a hot start. I would say a little bit of golf and a lot of nothing. What? And maybe be like sitting like outside, like just sitting there relaxing and playing a little bit of golf. That is my, I'm a simple guy. That's my perfect day.
Then after he'll watch a football game and he'll hedge both sides in the middle.
Damn, live bet.
A favorite down two scores.
Yeah.
So
money line, spread.
That's, by the way, that is the perfect day. Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods in the same round.
Yeah. Oregon goes down two scores to Cal right off the bat and he can bet Oregon money line. The great value.
Mine's easy. Wake up, go for a run, eat a bagel, football Sunday, the boys come over, watch the games for the night game, go to Rayo's for the night game. That's all I'll ever need.
Perfect day? That's a pretty perfect day. For me, I'd say play a round of golf with this crew and shoot even par and then go out for just an absolute celebratory dinner where I could just drink and eat myself under the table. That to me sounds sensational. How does it get better than that? I can't ever even fathom that because it won't happen.
I dig it, Joey D. FP?
But if I could wake up at some golf destination, I got 36 holes in front of me for the day, maybe a caddy that I just really just fucking vibe with, some lunch in between the two rounds of golf, afterwards a nice dinner, maybe a nice bottle of red. And then, you know, we go off property to some entertainment, you know, check those things out. And then we come back and we do it all again the next day. I need to end the day going to bed knowing that I also have that day FP. The next day, even if I don't. But I want to go to bed FP. Thinking like that I do.
I hate that's how I round this, it out. FP, that you just described your normal day, I think.
Yeah. I try to have that day as much as I can. Jet, you know?
This guy's got the best life
ever. It's not about money. It's about happiness, Jet. Everybody knows that.
All right. I think it's only right. We closed down with Ticket. Ticket.
Wow, the Tick.
Well, I think FP hit the nail on the head. The key to a perfect day is knowing what tomorrow's got coming. But I mean, I think a perfect day for me is probably closer to what people would think the Jet would say is I just want my phone not to work. I want to wake up probably in a cabin, maybe by a lake in the mountains, nothing to do, just maybe take a hike. So my phone doesn't work, but I do still somehow have YouTube set up, watch some YouTube videos, just chill. There's a fire burning. Maybe it's snowing outside.
What the?
Air, fucking awesome. And just. No one talks to me. What am I? Well, no, so the other key to that is I'm about 5 miles away from the nearest civilization, but I went the day before and stocked my fridge for the week. I've got food. I've got working grill. I've got a working stove. I got an oven. I got everything I need stocked in that house for a week, and no one talks to me.
And Postmates could get there.
If
necessary.
If South Philly Experience wants to deliver to that cabin, then I'm not going to not do that. But
Dick, I think part of you ordering South Philly Experiences, you know that it's not that good, but you want it to be good so bad.
Well, the thing is like, you know how I talk about just sloppy nachos? There's good nachos with good cheese, good chicken. They take care of it. But there's also just that sloppy nachos that Jet and I like so much.
Jet loves those sloppy nachos.
It's the sloppy version. It's the sloppy nachos version of the cheese.
I like that. Good for you, Jet. Nothing to be proud of.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that has done it. Yet another edition, Bob Does Sports Podcast. We want to see the video ideas in the comments right there. Fire away. Is that video real or fake? I'm also a little bit curious about that. We'll see you next time. Bob Does Sports Podcast. Love you, boys.